Well, it's a good day to be at Hope Church, and we've been studying Psalm 23. And the verse today, it's so important. David kind of goes from the field to a feast. And David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Right, David understands because we work and live in an imperfect world, we're gonna get hurt. And so he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." The sad thing about life, and Christmas kind of amplifies that, is that we're going to be hurt. Sometimes there are accidents, sometimes there are illnesses. And I think, though, the deepest hurts we feel in life are from people that we care about. The greatest blessing in life are the people that are around us, and also probably the greatest amount of stress and hurt are also from the people around us. And you get this. Sometimes people hurt us intentionally. Sometimes it's accidentally. Sometimes it's unintentionally. And sometimes it's just how life goes. I don't know if you've been coming up from Bella Vista on the new kind of bypass. Hello, Psalm 23, verse 5. Right? I mean, I'm like, okay. Thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, right? And so the response that we have matters. We're going to be hurt in life. Jesus told us that in this life you're going to have trouble. And so how do we prepare for that? I think there's a couple of things that we do. When we get hurt, these are kind of natural responses. Let me just give you two that kind of ring it home with me. We just put it in the rafters. Like, well, what does that mean? Well, when we first moved to Bella Vista, we had all kinds of stuff. What do we do with this? What do we do with this? I mean, like kids' tricycle, you know, and now they're late teens. Let's just put it up in the attic. It was perfect. Out of sight, out of mind, until we moved 3 years ago. And I'm up in the attic and I'm thinking, what? Why did we keep this? So you know how, you know, it's not like we had an elevator, you know, just one of those little ladders that's for like under 200 pounds so it would flex when I'm on it. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. It's like August and we're bringing stuff out of the attic. Some of the stuff, no kidding. We packed, we saved. Oh, it was just this thing. And it went in the church dumpster. Well, here's what we do when we get hurt. I'll just store it where nobody sees it. I'll bite the bullet. I'll just kind of pretend it doesn't exist. It'll go away, right? Human nature, when trouble comes, we run. Every single commercial building that you will probably ever walk into, the doors open out. Why is that? Because when there's trouble, we want to get out. And that happens, right? When people hurt us, we just kind of minimize it. Oh, it's not that bad. Or, you know, out of sight, we just put things in the rafters. And this is what another psalm says. I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside, and as I thought about it, my anger burned. Sometimes we've heard it said, you know, time heals all wounds. Not if we don't deal with them. And in order for us to move on, we had to make a choice. Leave all this stuff. Actually, there are a couple things I left in the attic. And we moved out. But if we're going to move on in life, what happens? We have to deal with the things that hurt us. David says this again. I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would hurry to my place of escape. Another place he says, when I keep things to myself, I feel weak deep inside. I moaned all day long. At some point, we have to deal with how we feel. David understands this. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. How does he do that? We'll talk about that in a moment. Here's another thing that we do. You know, some people don't run. Some people don't ignore. I call it this. Hold on to a fish too big for the boat. When we were growing up, I was so proud of my brother. He bought a 10 horsepower Honda motor and he had a 14 foot aluminum boat. We're like, this is like an ocean liner for us. So we would go off at Dana Point Harbor and we would follow a half day fishing boat out into the ocean. And never even thought that that could be dumb. We grew up surfing, we grew up in the ocean, we were very comfortable with it. And so we had several fishing rods. Some, you know, we'd catch barracuda, bonita, bass, and that. And once we would catch a fish, we would cut it up, and then we'd put it on the big ocean rod. Drop it down. And there were times where we would catch a fish that was too big for the boat. And so we had to make a decision because, I mean, you know, we have a big old ocean reel, and it's spooling it. So we're in our little 14-foot aluminum boat that was just, I mean, it was a big boat for us. In the ocean, but we had to make a decision. And we would say, do we really want this fish in our boat? No. We watched one time the half-day boat. I said, John, look at that. I'm like, that's a shark as big as our whole boat. And so there were times where we're like, okay, the little fish, you know, a barracuda, no big deal and all that. But when you catch something that's dragging in the boat and the harder you pull, the more line stripping out, you got to go, okay, sometimes the fish is too big for the boat. Here's what happens when people hurt us. Sometimes we don't just say, God, help me cut this line. Help me. No, we just keep reeling. We hold on to things that rock our boat, like anger. We hold on to resentment. We hold on to bitterness. Have you ever met people who are super cynical? Those are people who are holding on to the reel and trying to crank this thing up and actually think that their emotional boat is big enough to handle everything that life throws at us. And the truth is, sometimes life hurts so much, we've got to figure out how to let go. We've got to figure out how to get over being cynical. We've got to even, sometimes it's, okay, now it's a whole self-pity thing. Or now it's a thing where because of this, I'm worried. Now I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. And instead of acting, we're living a life of reacting. Job writes this, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Worry so many times and resentment, so many times it exaggerates a problem. Let me tell you, if you're a fisherman, how to make your fish look bigger. All right, when you take a picture, you don't hold the fish close to you. You hold it out like this. And it makes it look, it just makes it look so much bigger. Or you tilt it like this. Any fisherman, you're like, yeah. You have this little fish like this big and you're showing people, you know, it's massive. Well, that's what happens to us. Like, we just think about this thing and all of a sudden, instead of being in control, it controls us. Some of us have been hurt pretty bad. How is that rocking your boat? Wait, is there a song? What is that song? What rock? No. No, you're not old enough. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, what? Okay, that was horrible. You're never going to get healed when we hold things on and you know, they're like barnacles that stick to the bottom of a boat and causes problems. Job says you're only hurting yourself with anger. Think about how many people were against David. Think about the king. Think about how he tried to kill him multiple times. Bitterness eats us up. Every time you think about a person and resent it, it prolongs it. Bitterness, the truth is that it allows our present to be miserable. And we actually think that if we hate somebody and we hold it against them, it's going to hurt them. And, oh, I wish that worked. It doesn't work. It just tears us up. But we're human, and we just want to put it in the rafters, or we're like, I'll deal with this. And it doesn't work. So what does work? I think we have a wonderful option. It's trying to live the words found in Psalm 23, verse 5. Let me read it one more time for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So we're going to move from the field to the feast. And what was comforting for David is that the Lord was going to prepare a table for him, make a spread for him, and God was going to provide. There's actually a couple of principles in this scripture that I want to talk about that I think will, they're kind of three illustrations, three symbols that will help us allow God to heal us. The first one is this. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All right, think about sheep. Sheep have a lot of natural predators, wolves, bears, things with big teeth, and sheep are somewhat defenseless. And they're not going to be safe, right, unless a shepherd protects them, unless a shepherd leads them to the place where they can eat and drink in safety, and unless the shepherd is the one who pushes back the things that are trying to eat them. Here's what I want you to understand is there are times where you need to consciously, cognitively say, Lord, you've got to settle the score. A sheep could not settle the score for themselves, even if they wanted to. I mean, imagine a little sheep, and there's a wolf or a bear or something, and the sheep's like, hur, hur. The wolf's going to go, are you serious? And there's going to get, you know, this is like a cream-filled Twinkie. And there's no way they can protect themselves. Well, that's what happens to us. I'm going to resent you. I'm going to be so angry. It was unjustly done to us. Nobody denies that it was wrong. But if you could have fixed it, you would have already fixed it. Sometimes we need to let the Lord settle the score. In Romans, it says, never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. And I know there are times when we think, well, God, this justice, you're not doing anything about it. Justice delayed is not justice denied. And do you think God doesn't know? God absolutely knows the people who've hurt you, and he said someday he will settle the score. There comes a point if you really you really want to see a difference in your life, you've got to let God settle the score. You can't get revenge and healing. You've got to choose which one you want to get. You can't do both. Matthew records this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And I know this is difficult. Everyone has been hurt, and sometimes people will never say they're sorry. And sometimes we've been hurt so badly that it's even shaped who we are, and we wish we weren't who we are. It doesn't mean that we stay in a relationship that is absolutely abusive, you know, full, and it doesn't mean that, you know, that everything's going to be turned around right. What I'm saying to you is that you have the power to control how much anger and how much emotional energy you're going to allow somebody to hold on to you, or you're going to let it go. Somebody may never say they're sorry, but it doesn't mean you can't say, "I'm going to forgive," even though they don't deserve it, even though they never have said sorry. You see, for you to release that is different than having a relationship restored. A relationship restored is when somebody says, "I'm sorry that I did this." That's a relationship restored. Sometimes you'll never have that option, but it doesn't mean you can't release it and allow the Lord to set before you a table of His grace and His love. It's a big deal. Another thing that I read in this psalm is not just that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, not just that He's going to protect His sheep, but it says, "You anoint my head with oil." Not only do we need the Lord to go to bat for us, we also need the Lord to touch us. Right? What does it mean that you anoint my head with oil? Shepherds put oil on the head of a sheep. They put oil on sheep for at least a couple of reasons. One was to soothe, and the other was to heal. They would take oil and they would mix it with sulfur, and they would put it on the head of a sheep kind of as an insect repellent, representing the shepherd saying, "Hey, I know I'm going to take care of those irritants. I'm going to take care of those flies and the things that want to be pesky to you." And then another thing they would do with that oil, they would use it as an ointment. When a sheep was wounded, when a sheep had an open wound, a shepherd would rub that oil into that wound, and it would not only protect them, it would soothe them. This morning as we were worshiping, I had so much fun holding our little grandson, Thorin, and he actually got in trouble for laughing and giggling, but it was because I tickled him. And his mom, I thought, "Well, I'm going to stand up straight. I don't want to be in trouble in church either." But he, you know, I was holding him, and he was just patting my back. And I was like, and he let it put his head on me. I'm like, "Oh, my goodness." You know that feeling? That's what the Lord wants to do for you. He wants to help you with those things that have been irritating, but He also, when there's something that happens that's much more severe than, you know, I'm just irritated driving on the new bypass and I'm thinking, "I wish I would have been part of the engineering team so they would have come on from the right instead of the left." And so now it's like, okay, there's accidents all the time. Matter of fact, Pastor Zach had a guy who said, "No, I'm not slowing down. We're going together." And they ran into him. Like, "Oh, that's great." That's the irritant stuff. But what about the stuff that is deep in the soul? When He wants to restore our soul. You see, that's what Jesus wants to do for you and me. He wants us to come to Him with the hurts in our life. And He wants to hold us close and provide that salve, the only salve that is really going to make the difference in our lives. The psalmist wrote these words, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Not only am I going to settle the score, but if we allow him to, he can actually do a little repair work in our lives. He can change our hearts. He can bandage our hurts. I know that there are people who have felt defeated, people who have felt like they're a failure, and so many things have happened to us, and then in turn we do things, and it's crazy. But if we can truly let the Lord in, not just surface level in, but deep in, we become a trophy of his grace. We become a trophy of his grace, and instead of focusing on our hurt, instead of focusing on what happened and the injustice in this world, we can focus on the healer, the one who can make a difference in the deep recesses of our world. Hey, don't get me wrong. It was much easier for us when we're moving and life was crazy to say, where does this go? In the attic. In the attic. There are some things I hadn't seen for 10 years. But at some point I had to deal with it. Oh, what a nightmare that was. And then, you know, I remember when we first moved here and Sharon and I were in our little canoe. And you know, we were just dinking around in a little lake, and all of a sudden I caught a fish. And it started towing the boat. Well, so we didn't grow up in Arkansas. I'm like, could there be gators? I mean, I don't know how far south we were. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and I mean, like our boat, it wasn't like we were like popping a wheelie and, you know, making a wake, but I mean, we were moving and both our eyes were kind of like big. And I caught this catfish, and with my little hands, my little hand could fit in that catfish's mouth. And like, you bringing that in the boat? Nope. I don't want anything to do with that thing. You're like, oh, I'm tougher than that. I noodle. I would dive down and stick my hand in its mouth and bring it up. Good for you. Good for you. I didn't want that thing in my boat. What did I have to do? I had to make a choice. One of the hardest choices you're ever going to make in your life is not to accept Jesus as your Savior, but to let him truly forgive you of your sins. And then to have you forgive the sins of others. That is not easy. How big is your emotional boat? There have been things in our life, my life, that's happened that my boat's not big enough. And I'm a pretty strong person. And then there's the Lord. He is the one who can meet our needs. You say, why is that so important? Because we have expectations, and unfulfilled expectations are the root of most sorrow. We actually think that someone else can provide us security in life, and that you know, the truth is nobody can give you all the love you need. No one can give you all the help you need. No one can make you completely happy. And then there's the Lord, who never runs out of love, who never runs out of grace. He never's in a bad mood. Here's the last thing I want to say about this psalm. Let the Lord be the one who satisfies your needs. David says, my cup overflows. What does that mean? Well, it means I hope he wasn't in the house because he just spilled something. No, it means that he has more than enough. More than enough. We're in a series called Living the Good Life. You want to live the good life? It's when you let God take exactly where you are and let him make you someone you never thought you could be. You never thought you could let that go. You never thought you could really be more than a product of what's happened to you. Let me tell you how he'll make you overflow. He'll make you overflow with hope. The scripture says in Romans, God will help you overflow with hope in him through the Holy Spirit's power within you. God can help you with hope. With love, the scripture says this, may the Lord make your love to grow and overflow. He can help you not only with hope, not only with love, but with joy. The scripture says this, John scribed these words, and it's talking about Jesus. Ask, using my name, and you will receive. And your cup of joy will overflow. He says, I want to help your cup to overflow. Why is that? Because no matter what has happened to you, and no matter even what your state of mind is right now, you matter to God. You matter to God. You matter to God to the point he allowed his son to suffer horrific things for you. And then he allowed him to die in your place. And then he rose from the dead and said, if I can do this, I'm going to help you do this. He didn't need somebody else's strength. He did it in his own strength. He says, I want to invite you to the table. Let's move from the field to the feast. I want to invite you to a table, and I'm going to prepare this table in the presence of you, even of those things that have hurt you, in the presence of the enemies. And I'm going to anoint your head with oil. That means I'm going to soothe those things that irritate you, but I'm going to go a little deeper than that. I'm going to rework some things that have messed with your soul. I want to anoint your head with oil. And the result of that is that your cup will overflow. You see, we're taught so much in our society to do it yourself, to make it happen yourself, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and I'm not against that, except I've lived long enough to know sometimes it just doesn't work that easily when we've been wounded severely. That's why we need the shepherd. The shepherd who not only cares, but can make a difference. Can absolutely make a difference in our lives. Question today is, will you let him settle the score? Will I let him soothe our wounds? Will you come because you're invited to a banquet of wholeness? That truly is living the good life in him. Let's pray together, and we're going to sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed today. I've very much enjoyed Psalm 23. It's such a beautiful, short little psalm, but there's so much in it. And the thing that I'm reminded over and over again, and I don't like to consider myself as a sheep, but that's what we are being reminded, that we are a sheep and we need a shepherd. Sometimes little sheep stray. and he wants daddy. Judah was wonderful this week. They came by the church for something, and I filled his pockets with more candy than you could ever, where it was like piling out. And truly, that's what the Lord wants to do. That's what you call overflowing, was Judah's candy this week. And a couple other little kids who came in, I just made their parents so angry, and it felt so good. But today, if you could picture that yourself not as a hurting adult, or a wounded teenager, or somebody who doesn't know the what, the how. Picture yourself as that little sheep, and you need the shepherd. You need to get those things in prayer that are irritating, and then you need that deeper work for him to not just work around you, but in you and through you. Let's pray together. Let's stand. Father God, thank you. And I just sense in my heart, Lord, this is not just an ordinary Sunday. Whether there's hope at home or hope friends here in the building, this is not an ordinary Sunday. This is a Sunday where you are directly speaking to us through your word that you want us to be part of the feast and out of the field. You want to anoint us with your healing that we might overflow in love, and that we might overflow in joy, and that we might overflow in hope. So God, we come to you and ask you to help us focus on the healer and not just our hurt. We ask you, come Holy Spirit, and fill us to we overflow, we let go of those things that hurt us. Whether somebody will ever say they're sorry, or somebody, even if they said they're sorry, it never makes up for what was taken. But not for their good, but for our good. We let go. Jesus, I pray for everyone here, God, that you would not only bless them, that you would keep them, that you would allow your face to radiate about them, Lord, and that they would experience the peace of God. What a gift you have given us in the scriptures, that we might not only learn but be touched by your words. Lord, bless us as we go. Bring us back Wednesday night for Bible study. Help us to draw closer to you. In your name we pray, amen.